Alright, so we are looking at the seven simultaneous works of the Holy Spirit that He performs on our behalf immediately at the moment of salvation. And this is part of the study that we're going through in 1 John in seven things that John wants us to know, and he wants us to know the Comforter. And the reason why I'm going through this is because of the false teaching that's out there in regards to the Holy Spirit. That's why I'm going into this detail like this. And so we are looking at the first thing, which is the regeneration, our regeneration. In Titus chapter 3, in verse 5, it says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." And of course, that regeneration simply means being born again. So, I think where we left off would be on page 6 of your study guide. And because of this regeneration, these will be your next blank on your study guide. We have new life, a new citizenship, and a new nature. A new life, a new citizenship, and a new nature. And honestly, that alone should motivate us to have a walk separate from this world, because we're no longer citizens of this world. We're no longer that old man lost in sin. We've got new life because of Jesus Christ, because of the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. So all of that should prompt us to walk as children of light. Ephesians 5:8 says, "For ye were sometimes darkness." That's past tense. So if you're a born-again believer, you're no longer in darkness, folks. You're no longer in darkness. "But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." That's what we should be walking like now. And so on your blank will be this. It is this light that John informs us concerning the nature of God that Paul teaches is now in our hearts. If you remember, we did that little study on the nature of man and how his spirit is darkened and separated from God. That's what the Bible refers to as far as being dead in trespasses and sins. And when we receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God flooded our spirit with God's light, and we became a born-again creature in God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, I think this is on your study guide, "In whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believed not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves for your servants' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." To that I would say amen and amen. Hallelujah. You know? What a life-changing difference that is. So what occurs at the very moment of salvation, and this is your blank, is the creation of a new nature. This nature of light that God is. 1 John 1:5 says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." It's also who Jesus Christ is. In John 8:12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So when we're following Jesus, we're walking in that light that Jesus is. And then Paul also writes that we are the children of light. In 1 Thessalonians 5:5, he says, "Ye are," present tense, "all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." That's gone away. That's gone away. We are now the children of light. You know, what is fascinating, and I just happened to stumble across this some time back, but what is fascinating is that at the moment of human inception, as your blank, When the sperm meets the egg, it has been observed that a bright flash of light occurs at the very moment and life begins. I thought, wow, that's almost biblical. You know? That a flash of light occurs at the inception of life. That's incredible. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So when you receive that word by faith, flash. The light of God floods your spirit. And you become born again. And become a new creature in Christ. When the sinner in repentance and faith, believing what God's word tells them, and they call upon the name of the Lord for salvation, the light and life that God is, at that very moment of regeneration, God's light fills that person's spirit by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. We become new creatures in Christ. And that's what Titus 3:5 is talking about. That's what he's talking about. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So you at one time were a sinner. Now in God's eyes, you're considered a saint. So yes, you can call me Saint Jeff. No, don't do that. But you are. We're all saints in God's eyes. See, I was raised in the Catholic Church, and I thought of saints as, you know, this individual. You know, I would never consider myself a saint, but yet in God's eyes, we're considered saints. That's amazing. The old man lost in darkness is now a new man come into the light. And the child of the devil, which we once were, is now a child of God. If that doesn't cause your toes to curl, I don't know what will. And can't you see when you actually go into God's Word and actually see what God's Word has to say about this? Can't you see how these false preachers and teachers out there make these wonderful truths concerning our comforter so cheap and tawdry? That's what a seducer will do. He will want to take from you that spiritual richness, that spiritual wealth that we have in God's Word, and he'll want you to replace it with some earthly wealth that perishes. Right? They claim, have your best life now by filling it with perishable goods. No. No. No, you have your best life now when you live according to God's Word, understanding what God's Word says about you, and then you go out and share that good news with others. And then when you see someone that, like you were at one time, when you see someone like you receive the gospel, boy, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. On page 7, this partaking of the divine nature in regeneration, giving birth to a new creature that is now a citizen of heaven, and our becoming children of light is a simultaneous act of the Holy Spirit of God. We don't need to wait for it. We don't need to be good enough for it. You see, the issue for the believer now as we start living like who we are, right? Start living like the children of light that the Bible says we are. We're to put off the works and darkness of that old fallen Adamic nature, those works of darkness, and we are to walk in the light that he is. Ephesians 4:22 says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man. You remember what the word conversation means? Anybody? Yeah, lifestyle. Lifestyle. Put off, that you put off concerning the former lifestyle of that old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This new man, this inner man, is the new creature of 2 Corinthians 5:17, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. See, that's the mark of a child of God right there. So on your study guide, the initial work of regeneration is work only made possible by the Holy Spirit, who responds to the faith of the sinner calling out for salvation through Christ Jesus. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, what does it say there? Thou shalt be saved. I remember, I'll tell a little story. I remembered I used to work for TWA, and there was a man on the job site, and I know I've shared this story with you. And he would share these little Chick tracks with me, these little comic books, which at the time, that's about my speed. But these little comic books were speaking to my heart. And then the very first book I ever read in the Bible was the book of Revelation. And he told me to read that, and I did. And then I came back that Monday morning, and I was absolutely, I knew I was in a world of hurt. And then he gave me a list of Bible verses out of Romans, what we know of as the Romans Road. And he told me to go home and look those verses up, and he showed me a little bit of how the Bible works with the chapter and the verse and so forth and so on. So I grabbed my wife's Bible and looked up in the index where Romans was. So I turned to page such and such, and then I started fumbling my way through that. And then when I came to this verse in Romans 10:9, without any fanfare, without any sun shining through the light, I didn't speak in tongues or anything. I just simply accepted by faith what God's word said. And I became a new creature. I became a new creature. Verse 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So on your study guide, his subsequent works, such as his filling and teaching and enlightening and power, can then be applied as the new creature begins to learn God's word and submit in humble obedience to God's will to live as the new man that they have been created. Now, it could be with some folks, the reason why their growth is stunted is because they're not living the way that God created them to live. For whatever reason, they're making the decision to stay in that old man mentality. And yet the scripture tells us, get out of that. That goes nowhere. That goes nowhere. We're to put off the old man and we're to put on the new man. Titus 3:5 goes on and says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing. Renewing of the Holy Ghost. Not only does the Holy Ghost give us new life, but the Holy Ghost helps us to live that new life. He aids us, empowers us, strengthens us. He even chastises us and disciplines us for us to live that new life that we have in Jesus Christ. Your blanks are, the renewing of the Holy Ghost is simply defined as the work of the Spirit to restore what was lost by Adam in the garden. The image of God. The image of God. One of my favorite Bible verses. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know what that tells me? That tells me no matter how much of a jerk I am, God will never give up on me. And He'll never give up on you. He'll never give up on you. No matter how many times you may disobey Him, no matter how many times you may disappoint Him, no matter how many times, like a spoiled brat, you'll stomp your little feet and say, no, I want to do it my way, He'll never give up on you. He'll never give up on you. Now, not to sound crass, but this is what irks me by some who, in how they present the Father. Some of these, I'll be kind, some of these men and women like to present the Father like He's a sugar daddy. Right? Like you can run to Him with all of your selfish and spoiled wants and He's obligated to give whatever your little selfish heart wants. Well, that's not the Father of the Bible. There's also some who present Him as some disinterested being that He kind of just throws the baby out with the bathwater to see what happens, which side you land on. Well, that's not the Father of the Bible either. See, our Father, and here I don't mean to be disrespectful, our Father is not like the baby daddies that are out there. Our Father from the new birth, through the maturation, and on to glory, is always there, providing. His presence is always there. He's always providing. He's always willing. Always aiding. You know what the problem is? It's not Him, is it? It's us. It's us. We resist His love. We resist His love. 2 Corinthians 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, I'm kind of a stickler on that word, thoroughly, because some of your Bibles will say thoroughly. But the word thoroughly means He works from the inside out. Because it's the inside that's important. It's the inside that's important.
Yeah. Where did you say that first one?
2 Timothy 3:16. Did I say Corinthians? Thank you, Diane. Apparently I didn't. 2 Timothy 3:16. I don't know where I got Corinthians from. So, it is this work of restoring, thoroughly furnishing, that the unction aids in our understanding, is your blank. You know all things. As the Spirit works in us and through us to this end, that you may be perfect. And of course, perfect doesn't mean sinless, it just means mature, complete. Romans 12, 1 through 2, I beseech, it's not on your study guide. Paul writes, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, how is it that we renew our minds? Anybody? Yeah, through the Word. And it's not just reading the Word, is it, folks? Now, you know, you need that Word to be percolating in your hearts and minds to allow it to have its renewing in your mind. Ephesians 4:13 says, and again, this is not in your study guide, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. Of course, we won't realize that until we're with Him in heaven, but the process, the growth, continues up until that moment. And what is our Father's goal for us? Anybody? What is our Father's goal for us? Conformity, but conformity to be like Brian Hedges? No, to be like Jesus Christ. Right. Yeah, we are sons of God through new birth, due to our salvation. And we are to be more like Jesus Christ. That's what the process of sanctification is all about. And then when we come into our full inheritance, being joint heirs of Christ, and that's called glorification. That's the whole process of the Christian life right there. Your blank would be, this work of restoration is accomplished by the believer's cooperation with the Spirit as the believer understands God's will and submits to God's plan for the life found in God's Word. Have you ever gone to Walmart and saw mom dealing with an uncooperative child? And I don't know about you, but sometimes don't you just feel like going over and just snatching that wonderful little child and... Well, never mind. Sometimes that's the way we behave. That's sometimes the way we behave. First comes regeneration, a one-time occurrence. And this new birth is then followed by renewing, a lifelong work of transformation, is your blank. Transformation. And of course, the goal is Christ-likeness. That is the goal. That is the goal. If you want to measure yourself against somebody, don't measure yourself against Brian. Don't measure yourself against any man. You measure yourself against Jesus Christ. You know, I can measure myself against other men, and I can come out looking pretty good, couldn't I? But when you measure yourself against the Lord Jesus Christ, and you realize, oh my goodness, I've got a lot of work to do here. The goal is Christ-likeness. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So on your study guide, our predestination has nothing to do with being saved, but it has everything to do with our destiny as a Christian and being conformed to the image of Christ. You realize that the moment you got saved, you are predestined to be conformed into the image of Jesus. That's God's plan for you. And He will not deviate from that plan, even though we attempt to do so. And this goal of God has three parts. And I alluded to them earlier. In Romans 8:15, we read, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." So number one, by adoption, this secures our position as sons of God. At the moment of our regeneration, we've been adopted into God's family. And this might blow your mind, but we have all the rights of a son of God. That doesn't mean we're like Jesus, son of God. But we have all the rights of the son of God. We're joint heirs with Christ. We're joint heirs with Christ. Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walked not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So, the conformity of our character is the work of sanctification. Sanctification. That's simply you being set apart unto God. That's you being set apart unto God in your mind and in your heart. Romans 8:18, it says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And then Romans 8:22, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit, the redemption of our body." So number three, one day, in glorification, we shall be like his Son, perfected in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, our friend Teresa Staub knows what that's all about right now.
Amen.
And I was talking to Diane about that, and I said, wouldn't you like to know, like Jim Boyette, wouldn't you like to know what they see and experience that very moment they pass on into eternity? See, I don't go along with what you see on YouTube about seeing a bright light and all that kind of stuff. But I would, don't you, aren't you kind of curious? Aren't you kind of curious? I remember Jim called me late at night. I think it was about a month before he passed away. Huh? Oh, was it a week? And I don't know if I've ever shared this. But anyway, he was telling me about things that he was seeing and things that he was hearing. And so I asked him, I said, "Well, Jim, these things that you see and these things that you hear, are they giving you anxiety? Are they making you fearful? Are they, you know, are they causing you any kind of discomfort in your soul or your spirit?" He says, "No, just the opposite. Just the opposite." He says, "I can't tell you what it is I'm hearing, and I can't tell you what it is I'm seeing, but what I can tell you that when it does happen, it fills me with joy and peace." So maybe that curtain was pulled back just a little bit. Maybe. But that's what we have to look forward to. That's what we have to look forward to. John writes in 1 John 3:2, he says, "Beloved, now are we," present tense, "the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now, I have no clue about that. The full understanding, the full measure of that, and I don't think anybody else does. But I say, bring it on. Bring it on. So these three parts of salvation, sanctification, and glorification, these are all works that God works in your life. And it all begins at that work of the Spirit in regeneration. And this is also the purpose of the anointing that 1 John talks about, folks. 1 John 2:27, because that's kind of what we're studying about. "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye not that any man teach you, But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it taught you, ye shall abide in him. You see, what you're... Okay, let me ask you this question. It's probably a loaded question. I'll be sorry if I ask it. What I am sharing with you through the Bible, don't you know that it's true in your hearts?
Yes.
Thank you. Why is that? Because you've got the Spirit of truth in you. Right? The reason why these truths resonate with us is because the Spirit of truth resides within, and He's testifying to that truth. What a wonderful gift that is. Now, don't you know that when you hear something, remember the old game shows when you hear that buzzer go, eh? Aren't there times when you hear things and it's like, eh, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. Why is that? It's because of the Spirit of truth that dwells in us. That's why it's so important to be a member of a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church. And that's why I need to talk a little bit about pastors and teachers. Because this verse here says, "You need not that any man teach you." Now, does that mean that I don't need the other pastors in this church? Does that mean I don't need the other teachers in that church, that I could pick this book up and I could just go ahead and come up with all sorts of goofy nonsense on my own? There are a lot of them that do it. There's been some friends of mine that have believed that very thing. They believe they don't need to be a member of a church. Wait a minute, what does the Bible say? Yeah, you do. You know, they say, well, I don't need to this or that. Well, wait a minute, is that what the Bible says? No, we need the pastors and the teachers, folks. We do, we need the pastors and the teachers. These are men who are gifted to teach God's word and to pastor a church. These are men that God specifically gifts to edify and equip the believer. And if this pastor or teacher is worth their salt, they also know that they are held to a high accountability for what they teach. I don't know how many times we've heard Brian up here in the pulpit say that he is aware of that he's going to have to answer to the Lord. Well, he's not the only one, folks. We all have to answer to the Lord. We all have to answer to the Lord. Ephesians 4:11 says, see, that contradicts those people say, well, I don't need teachers. Well, wait a minute. What does the Bible say? It says in Ephesians 4:11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You see, when somebody gets that kind of thinking in their head, it's almost like, you know, they're ignoring passages like, what is it, 1 Timothy chapter 3 that talks about bishops and deacons? What do you do with things like that? Ignore it? I'm sorry. I'm on a soapbox. The aim of preaching and teaching is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And this is your blank. Of which this anointing enables and empowers them to perform. And it's not for the preachers and teachers to enrich themselves making merchandise of the church. And we certainly are seeing a lot of that going on. living in huge homes and flying in private jets and wearing these expensive suits. Where does all that money come from, folks?
God.
Oh? Yeah? Okay. Tell that to the widow who is surviving on her Social Security check. Yeah, that's what they'll claim. And also, another thing, again, this unction is not given, is not to give us new revelation, is your blank. And I went through that quite a bit, as the seducers and false teachers claim for themselves. But it's to aid us in understanding and applying the revelation already preserved and provided in God's Word. Okay? This renewing is the true subsequent, is your blank work of the Spirit upon the already born again saint. That perfecting work of conformity that the Holy Spirit performs in our hearts and minds as we trust and obey His Word. Again, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I love that. Being confident. You guys go through life sometimes not so confident about certain things. Sometimes it's a snare, isn't it? Sometimes you become a prisoner to it. But yet, there are things we can be confident about. There are things we can be confident about. In fact, this confidence is one of the themes of 1 John. It's also a part of our assurance in Jesus Christ. So going on. I'm sorry, I got off on a little tangent. So the washing of regeneration is in association with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which we will consider in another lesson. But first, it's best to understand what this washing of regeneration is about. And the word washing is also associated with bathing as well as with baptism. Now, this might blow your minds. I don't know. We'll find out. All I'm trying to do is be biblical. I think this is on your study guide. The particular Greek word, lutron, translated washing as in washing of regeneration, it's only found in one other time in your Bible. And it's used in the bathing of a corpse in preparation for burial. I know, isn't that wild? It's used in preparation of burial of a corpse. Yeah. Acts 9:36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had lutron, washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. Very same word used in Titus. Washing of regeneration. Remember what Romans 6, 3-4 said? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So by the washing of regeneration, we have been washed from our sin and delivered from its penalty of death. For the wages of sin is death. This uncleanness was our initial state prior to salvation. Remember, we were dead in sins. So just as a corpse is washed with physical water in preparation for burial, the washing of regeneration by the Holy Ghost prepares us to be fit for heaven. Job 14:1 says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And doth thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bringeth me into judgment with thee? And who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Guess what? God can. And God did. Man is unable to clean himself of his uncleanness, is your blank. And that's the snare of religion. Right there, that's the snare of religion, because religion will tell you that man can clean himself up in order to be accepted by whatever God they happen to be serving or worshiping. Can we clean up ourselves? Can we wash away that sin? No, we cannot. No, we cannot. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So by faith in Christ, we are cleansed. By the washing of regeneration of that which made us unclean, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, and we are delivered from that which condemned us to death, is your blank. Revelations 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us. And what does it say there? And washed us from our sins in his own blood. See, the Old Testament picture of the washings and ablutions performed by the priests and the people to deal with their ceremonial uncleanness is perfected in the New Testament by the washing of regeneration by the Holy Ghost due to Christ's redeeming blood. I remember one time we had a guest come to our church, and they didn't like our church because we talked too much about the blood. They thought the blood was repulsive. It's by the blood we're saved. By the blood we're saved. This is what Paul was referring to in 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. You are sanctified. Ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. When Paul wrote to the Hebrew believers who were being harassed by the legalistic Judaizers, telling them to come back into the fold of the law, this is what he wrote in Hebrews 1:3. Who being in the brightness of his glory, in the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. You see, that's the insidiousness of religion, that denies men entering into heaven when they discount or downplay the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. And so this washing of regeneration prepares us who were once dead in sins, purging from us those sins, and preparing us for heaven. And we'll have to stop right there, because that leads us into another truth that happens. And I'll go ahead and give you the blank so we'll know where we're headed. Another simultaneous action of the Spirit on behalf of the born-again believer is that occurs is our spiritual circumcision. And that's what we'll talk about next. But we'll stop right there. Okay? All right. So we'll go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we'll get ready for the main service. Mr. Jones, would you be kind enough to close out in prayer for us? Thank you.